Is this on? Everybody hear me good?
Good.
Now, y'all know y'all thankful for toilet paper, don't you?
Y'all know y'all are. But it is good. It's good to be thankful for a lot of things, and I'm thankful for Jesus Christ today and the fact that he's brought us here to hear his word. Amen? And, you know, if you have your Bibles today, turn to the book of Psalms. God has really just impressed upon my heart the past few weeks as I've been going back and forth to work about purpose in life. And I've listened to several different things about purpose and read different things about purpose. And that's what I want to talk to you today about. And so Psalm 67 is what we're going to be reading from today in verses 1 through 7. But you know, every person here this morning, if you have a home, you have appliances in your house. And each of these appliances has been designed to do a different job. They've been built with different parts that make them operate. And each appliance has its own reason and purpose for being in your house. Suppose that you tried to operate an appliance outside of what it was designed to do. Suppose you tried to toast things in the refrigerator, or you tried to freeze things in the stove. Hello, you got a problem. Why? Because you're trying to use that appliance for something else, and the appliance has not been created to do that. That appliance has been crafted to do whatever the Creator has designed it to do. The refrigerator doesn't tell the designer what it's going to do today. The stove doesn't tell the designer what it's going to do today. It is the designer that dictates to the appliance the reason and the purpose that it exists. And so the title of the message today is God's Design, Man's Purpose. God's Design, Man's Purpose. And so we're going to be reading in Psalm 67, verse 1. It says, "May God be gracious to us and bless us. May He make His face shine upon us, so that Your way may be known on earth, Your salvation among all nations. Let the people praise You, God. Let all the peoples praise You. Let the nations rejoice and shout for joy, for You judge the peoples with fairness and lead the nations on earth. Let the peoples praise You, God. Let all the peoples praise You. The earth has produced its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear Him." Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do." We have been crafted, we have been formed, we have been created by God for a specific purpose. We are His creation, and He dictates to us why we exist, and He tells us what we are designed to do. It is in God that we find our purpose. If we try to function outside of our reason for being, that is your purpose. That's what purpose means. It is your divine reason for being. If we try to function outside of that, then we're going to have a problem. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 3, "Keep your obligations to the Lord your God, to walk in His ways and to keep His statutes." David is talking to Solomon. And he says, "Keep His statutes, keep His commands, keep His ordinances and decrees. This is written in the law of Moses so that the Lord will fulfill His promise that He made to me." And David is about to die. And he tells his son Solomon, if you are going to experience God in a real way, if you, Solomon, walk in His purpose for you, in
the purpose that He has designed for you, that is the only way you're going to fulfill your reason for being. And I want to tell each person here today that if you want to experience God in a real way, moving in your life and in my life, then we must be serving His purpose. There's no other way. You know, I like to turkey hunt. And I'm excited about turkey season coming up next year. And I hope I get to kill a turkey. But when I go turkey hunting, I take binoculars with me. And the reason why I take binoculars is because if I can see something far away, it makes whatever's far away seem clear. That's what binoculars are designed to do. They are designed to give you what? A clearer picture and a bigger picture. And many people today are not seeing the clear picture and the bigger picture about life. Because some people think they just exist for the moment. They're living life for just now. When we cannot see the clear picture, when we cannot see the bigger picture for why we are here, our significance and our value, we get confused about that in life. And when life gets blurry, it's time to refocus. When a person can see clearly and see further, things look a whole lot better. You see, this psalm is a psalm that talks about the clear picture of life and the purpose of life, of why you and me exist on this earth. And in the seven verses that we just read, we read about God's design and His purpose for everybody. But it also explains God's purpose for Himself. And there's three things that I want to show you in this psalm about purpose and design and being crafted and created. First of all, the passion of God. It says in verses 3 and 5, "Let the peoples praise you, God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations rejoice and shout for joy. Let the peoples praise you, God. Let all the peoples praise you." So the passion of God is that God wants worship from every single person in this whole entire world. The purpose of God is that all people recognize Him as God and worship Him accordingly. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 6, God says, "I am the first and I am the last, and there is no God but me." There's only one God. Isaiah chapter 43 and verses 10 and 11 says, "You are my witnesses. This is the Lord's declaration, and my servant who I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He. No God was formed before me, and there will be none after me. I am the Lord. Besides me, there is no Savior." There's only one God. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 5, verse 13, it says, "Then I heard of every creature in heaven and on earth, under the earth and on the sea, and everything in them says, 'Blessing and honor and glory and power be to the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever.'" Here is every tribe and every tongue and every nation coming, surrounding the throne of God and worshiping God. You see, eternity is going to be the uninterrupted worship of God. Did you get that? It's going to be the uninterrupted worship of God. Now listen to me now. If it's uninterrupted, that means there's not going to be any distractions. Today, we have a lot of distractions that keep people from worshiping God. What are those distractions for you? Because you see, if we can't show up to do the things that we've been committed to, we're not going to say, "Jesus, you know, hang on a second. I got to go do this. I'll come back and worship you in a little bit. No, no, no. There's not going to be any interruption. Well, God, hang on a second. I got to go over here to the world. And God, hang on now. I'll worship you in a little bit. It's not going to be any of that. It's going to be the uninterrupted worship of God. The psalmist says, let all the peoples praise you, God. You see, God's desire is that all people would worship Him as what? The one true God. You see, you will never fulfill your purpose on this earth until you come to this understanding. And until you do this, the world will never realize its true destiny until this happens. And so this is what God wants to achieve. This is His passion. God wants His people to be involved in bringing others to the worship and praise of God. God wants this for Himself. A businessman was visiting a town that was, he was an atheist. And he didn't believe in God. And one day the town came together to build a new chapel. And this businessman got involved. He started helping and the people work on this chapel. And one man from the town very politely asked this businessman, he said, I thought you were an atheist. He said, well, I am. He said, well, I don't understand. You're up here building a house for God. He said, I am. He said, well, why would you do that if you're an atheist? He said, just in case. Just in case. See, many today keep other gods in their back pocket just in case God doesn't work out. They keep idols tucked away. They hang on to certain people and places and things just to cover their backs in the event that God doesn't work out for them. God has never been satisfied with a half-hearted commitment, a partial commitment. When His people would seek to follow Him and hang out or hang on to the gods of their culture, God would say, no, I'm not going to bless you for that. See, God wants complete commitment and dependence on Him as the only one true God. And God does not want to share you with competition. See, right now, we're living in the interrupted worship of God. Why is it that all people are not worshiping the one true God? Why is it that believers are not participating in bringing people to worship and praise of God? Because the focus of many today has been blurred. We're not seeing the clear picture, the bigger picture about life. A man had bought a new TV. And TV wasn't working. He had lived in a gully there. And so he called the TV company to come and help him with his TV. And he was punching buttons and trying to work with the remote. And he couldn't figure out what was going on. Well, when the guy came there, the repairman came there, he started working with the TV. And he couldn't figure out what was going on. He's scratching his head. And he said, you just stay right here. And he said, I'm going to go up on top and mess with the antenna. And so he started messing with the antenna, and he started moving it and moving it, and the picture inside went from hazy to clear. Well, this man was thinking, he's fixed my TV. But he thought when he got down, he was going to tell him that the problem with his TV was his antenna. Well, when he came down, he said, the problem wasn't your antenna. The problem wasn't the remote. The problem was not the TV. The problem is your location. Your location. You see, many today are not seeing the real reason for why they're here on earth, because they're in the wrong location. And their vision has been blurred. It's been blurred because they are more concerned about this world and their own agenda. I'll get around to you, God, when my shows go off. God, I'll talk to you when my weekend trip is over with my friends. And if I'm not too tired, God, after I have finished with my plans and my programs, before I go to bed, I'll pray to you for a few seconds and then I'll fall asleep.
The Bible says in Exodus chapter 34, verse 14, the Lord is jealous for His reputation. You are never to bow down to another god. He is a jealous God. God made you for Himself. God made a bird to fly in the air, a fish to swim in the sea. You take a fish and put him in a tree, he's not a happy fish. You take a bird and put him in the sea, he's not a happy bird, not if he's meant to fly. God said in Isaiah that I have formed you. I have created you. I have designed you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You take a man or a woman, listen, who is not fulfilling the purpose that they were designed for, they are not satisfied people. And so the passion of God is that all people from everywhere, every tribe, every tongue, every nation would worship Him as the one true God. Why don't you look at verse 2? Here we see the plan of God. How is God going to go about this? It says, so that your way may be known on earth and your salvation among all nations. God wants all people to be saved. God wants His children, you and me, to operate and function our lives by discipling others so that they might be saved. God wants all people who have been saved to point others to the cross. And this is what Vince has been talking about for the past few weeks, about who is your one. And if this is not the burning focus and passion of our church, of our lives as Christians, then we're just existing. We're not living. And as I have been reading about this and listening to this, this is a challenge in my own life. Because I can tell you, Josh Slatton hasn't arrived. I am not perfect. Just ask Elizabeth, she'll tell you. But I want to be a growing Christian. I want to be growing and drawing closer to the Lord. I don't want to waste my life because I only got one. You've only got one. This must be our passion. This must be our focus. This must be how we go about it. This is how God wants to go about it, that when you become a child of God, that you begin to disciple others and tell others in your workplace, in this community, wherever you are, each and every day, about Him. Yes, sometimes it's scary. Yes, sometimes it's frightening. Yes, sometimes we worry about being laughed at and being mocked. But we must open our mouth. You see, if a person walks around with $100 but never uses it for what it's intended for, that $100 is just a piece of paper. It's valuable paper, but meaningless until it is used for purchasing something. We have value as Christians. God has consigned that value to us. However, until we live our lives for Christ, for the purposes of God that God intended, we're just going around existing. Still valuable, but not useful. A Christian life not used for its purposes is a life not well spent. And so we see the passion of God that all people will come worship Him. The plan of God is that His children would go about proclaiming Him and discipling others, bringing others to Him. But here is the predicament that we're in today. Look in verses 7. It says, God will bless us and all the ends of the earth will fear Him. And then he goes about in verse 6 and says, God our God blesses us. And then it says in verse 1, may God be gracious to us and bless us. Now, here is the problem. How am I supposed to be concerned about God's kingdom while I'm here on earth and I'm concerned about my own as I go through my day-to-day life? Well, why does God bless you?
Is it so you can just keep your blessing to yourself? Absolutely not. What does it say in verse 7? That all the ends of the earth will fear him. You see, if all you see is yourself and not God's agenda, then you need to clean your glasses off. Many people are stuck on themselves. You see, you're only young once, but you can be immature for a long time. We should be growing Christians. To be a growing Christian means that I'm operating my life in such a way that the purposes of God direct my thinking and guide my life. It means that I have aligned my life under the rule of Jesus Christ. You see, immaturity has nothing to do with age when it comes to spiritual things. Daniel was a teenager, and the Bible says that he made up his mind that he was not going to become like the Babylonians. He said, I'm not going to become like them. He made up his mind that he was not going to let the worldly mindset of the Babylonians steer his life and direct his life. And when the world dominates our thinking, then we're not fulfilling the purposes of God. The Bible says that the world and the fashion of it are passing away. But here's another thing, folks. We are passing away right along with it. Don't live for this world's purposes. A few weeks ago, or actually a week ago, we took the kids to Dollywood. I love Dollywood. And we were able to ride some of the rides later on in the day. And Allie's favorite ride is that fire chaser ride, the fire engine ride. She loves that ride. And you know, I'm getting older. And I could feel it when I was walking around that place. But I enjoyed spending time with her and Elizabeth and the kids because they're getting older too. And I just thought as I was riding that ride, this ride right here is getting ready to end. And you know what Allie said when we got off? Let's ride it again. Let's ride it again, Daddy. Let's ride it again. And so we got on it again and got on it again and got on it again. Why? Because the thrill was something that we could not hold on to. We had to keep riding it and riding it and riding it to fulfill what the desire, that thrill in our heart. And I want to tell you, folks, time is passing away. Our pastor says all the time to redeem the time that we have. I only have so much time to live. And so what I want to do is I want to be a growing Christian. I want to be someone who is passionate about people worshiping God and bringing them to Him. That's what I want to be. And I want to be a father that shows that to my children. So I don't... While I have to live in this world, yes, we're to get some of the benefits from the world. We have to live in this world. But when the world's purposes become our purpose, then we've got it backwards. Paul tells us in Corinthians, he says, you need to grow up. It's time to grow up. When there is no connection between what God has blessed you with and the purposes of God, the blessings that you have are not blessings. They're curses. God doesn't mind blessing if He's going to get glory out of it. Danny Werfel was a great college quarterback. Danny Werfel won several SEC championships, former Florida quarterback, went on to play in the NFL for many years, and Danny Werfel was a Heisman Trophy winner. When Danny Werfel got up to the podium, one of the first things that he said come out of his mouth, I want to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the ability, for the talent that He has given me to be used for His glory. That's what he said. So what he was saying was, y'all can showcase this right here. Showcase Jesus. This ain't about me. This ain't about this award. This is about what Jesus has done in my life. So if you want to showcase that to the media, to all the sports outlets, showcase that. Because that's what it's all about. The Bible says in Acts chapter 13. I want to read this to you and then we'll close in a little bit. David, the Bible says, who was a man after God's own heart. It says, for David, after serving God's purpose in his own generation, fell asleep and was buried with his fathers in the cave. Now, this is our generation that we live in today. Are we serving the purposes of God? The Bible says that Esther was called to the kingdom for such a time as this. Moses met God and God told him, your purpose is to let my people go. Peter had a purpose-filled life and he told Peter, Jesus said, you'll be fishers of men. Paul had a purpose-filled life. He said, I am forgetting those things which are behind me and I am pressing on to a high calling. Joseph told the people who had done him wrong, he said, you meant this for evil, but God meant this for good. He served the purpose. Jesus, who knew he was going to die on the cross, he said that I have finished the work that God has sent me here to do. Are you serving the purposes of God? How many of you know or remember watching the movie Frankenstein? For those of you who don't know, Victor Frankenstein was responsible for making something that didn't have life and brought it to life. And if you don't know about Victor, his last name became synonymous with the creation that he made. And so there was a tragedy in his life, and Victor decided, I want to do something good. And so he began to go into these slaughterhouses and junkyards and places and get all these things and gather all these things so that he could use them to create life in something that didn't have life. And Frankenstein, Victor Frankenstein, actually achieved his goal. But what he come to find out was that not only did he create something that didn't have life and make it have life, he created a beast. What happened was is that the beast, who now had life, turned on the creator. The creator became the victim in that situation. So what he had given life, what he had brought to life that had life now, turned on him, the one that gave him life. He became monstrous. We all know him as Frankenstein. I want to tell you today, folks, that you and I have been given life by our Creator. You and I, if we turn on God and say, I'm doing my own thing, forget you. That is nothing short of monstrous, because what we have done, if we're doing that, we have taken the life that has been given to us and we're using it for something other than our Creator had designed it for and created it for and the purpose that He has it for. That's monstrous. David, the Bible says, fell asleep after he had finished the purposes of God. When it comes to God's purpose for you, I can tell you this. You will never be satisfied by doing anything else until you find out what God wants you to do. Let's pray. Lord, today, I pray that your word will challenge us. I pray, Lord, that it would convict us. I pray, oh God, that it would encourage us to understand one thing, is that this life that we have is passing away. We only have one life. And Lord, you gave it to us to be used for your purpose, so that we could bring others to worship you, so that we could tell others about you. That's what you designed us to do. And Lord, sometimes we fall short of that. And Lord, I pray that we would not be satisfied by the world today, but we would be satisfied, our true satisfaction is found in you and your purpose for us alone. Lord, I pray today if someone is lost today, that they would understand that you've crafted them and formed them to be saved and to be a vessel for you. If you are moving right now in their heart, dear Lord, I pray that they would not hesitate to come and give their life to the one that loves them, the one that died for them on that cross. Lord Jesus, we love you today. Forgive us where we fail you today. And may we be people who want to do your will. And may we be people who are satisfied in doing your purpose today. In Jesus' name, amen. You come as God leads you today.